Okay, Rabbi Bosai, what I'm going to try to do with you today is to run through what remains in Siman Kuf Tzadi Beis. There are a number of interesting nekudos that are worth focusing on. First of all, Si'if Beis in Kuf Tzadi Beis, the Ramah tells us that Yesh Lismocha Tevila Samech L'Bi'ilas Mitzvah B'Chom Ada Efsher. Although we pass in the Ikar Hadin that the din of Tavu'a Leinase is a halacha that at that moment of the Tevi'a you will have some chimud, but there is a shita of the Rush, that the Rush is worried that Tavu'a Leinase means that as you get closer to the marriage, the chimud will increase. No? Is Tavu'a Leinase the pshat that at that moment when I ask you to marry me, so then there is chimud? Or do I assume that as you get closer and closer and closer, there's going to be more and more chimud? No? Rabbi Bleich speaks about this as a disease that he calls kala-itis. Right? What kala-itis basically means is that it's known out there that even women who have been perfectly regular, they've had their periods almost like clockwork since their 12th birthday, right when they're engaged, it all goes haywire, no? It's like, whoa! Like, you get these shyless people, get very, very nervous. Again, in our world, there's less of a concern with chuppas nidin than was before, because we're on the pill generally before marriage, even in the Haredi communities. Women are not on the pill in general after marriage, but before marriage, almost everyone is on the pill. Although, I should point out that being on the pill is something that you should not do without a doctor advising you. I have dealt with cases that particular rabbonim or kala teachers recommended particular pills, and people were able to get them, and you have to know stuff. There are side effects of birth control pills. There was once a case of a woman who got serious clotting. If you read, like, the fine print on the medicine, you know. I once had to organize a Tehillim rally in my shul. A woman, a kala, got very, very serious blood clots from taking birth control pills. It's a rare side effect, but you have to know what you're doing. That's why you need to know, you need to ask a doctor. So the din is that we try to put the tevila as close to the bi'ilas mitzvah as possible. But we are never marchik more than 96 hours. The idea of 96 hours emerges from the Ramah as follows. The Ramah says that there was a minig that women would go to the mikvah Leil Revi'i. Leil Revi'i means Tuesday night, no? Now, Tuesday night they'd go to the mikvah. Why did they do that? So there are two ways of understanding this. There's the right way and the wrong way. It says in the Ramah that they would go to Mikvah Leil Revi'i and the Be'ilah would not be until Motzei Shabbos. One way of understanding this is that they'd go to the Mikvah and they'd get married Leil Revi'i. And the Minhag, somehow, was not to have Bia until the Motzei Shabbos after. Now, this is the wrong way to understand it. Because the Shach tells me in Sifkatin Yud Aleph, the Shach calls this Minhag not to have a Bia for a few days after the marriage as a minhag shel shtus v'yesh bo iser mikama ta'amim. No? Shach says it's a really, 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 really bad minhag. Right? Shtus v'yesh bo iser mikama ta'amim. So Shach says, don't do it. So presumably, the Ramah who says that they get that the mikvah is Tuesday night does not mean the mikvah is Tuesday night and the marriage is Tuesday night, but probably what it meant, and Rabbi Cohen is Masbir Azayim Bevadei HaShulchan, probably what it meant is that the marriage was on a Friday afternoon. Weddings used to take place on Friday afternoon because of a simple reason. Yidden didn't have that much money. Okay, there was a time, my mother grew up in Far Rockaway, right, next to Lawrence. No? There was a time that Jews were poor. My mother remembers that all the weddings used to be Friday afternoon in Far Rockaway on the beach. That's when people got married. That was like the thing, the summer weddings, including the wedding of Rebbetzin Bruria David, the daughter of Rabbi Yitzchok Kuttner, who then was a Rosh Yeshiva in Far Rockaway, because Chaim Berlin was in Far Rockaway for 2 years. Right? My mother was at the wedding, and Rebbe and David wore a blue dress for her wedding. I know. But the point is that the minhag used to be that people would get married on Friday afternoon. And there was a minhag that's quoted in Poskim that although we allowed the Ilas Mitzvah on Shabbos, on Leil Shabbos Kodesh, and we're not worried about the Isser of Chabura, Me'ez HaSibah Shehi, the Gemara discusses at the beginning of Ksubis, nonetheless, there was a minhag that they would not have Bia until Motzei Shabbos. And therefore, they would go to the mikvah Leil Revi'i, which is Tuesday night in Halacha, and the Be'ilas Mitzvah is going to be 96 hours away. No? Be'ilas Mitzvah is going to be Motzei Shabbos Kodesh. The reason they went to the mikvah Leil Revi'i is in order to be Mekayim, the first Mishnah in Ksubis, that the Sula Nisus Liyem HaRevi'i, they wanted to keep that up in some form, so they'd go to the mikvah Leil Revi'i. So that's the real pshat in this minhag. Says the Ramah that al pi halacha, if you go to the mikvah within 96 hours of the wedding, you really do not have to do bedikas after going to the mikvah before the wedding. But if you go to the mikvah more than 96 hours, but you should not go to the mikvah more than 96 hours before the wedding. If you do that, then you should do bedikos until the wedding comes because of this additional chshash of chimud that as the wedding is getting closer, you should do, there might be a dam chimud that comes out. So the psak of the Ramos seems to be that it depends on 96 hours. We try not to go to the mikvah before 96 hours. Let's say, I've had cases. I had a Kal in my shul once who came from a community, Mamish, in South Yehovitz, which is even farther away than North Yehovitz. And let's say what community she came from, but not too many people come from that community, and some of you might know who it is, so I'm not going to say it. So she came from South Yehovitz. And she was getting married in her home community. And there was no mikvah that was maintained to a kosher standard in her home community. Right? Basically, her home community had a mikvah. Her home community used to have a sizable frum community. No longer did they have a sizable frum community. So she was going to go to the mikvah in the Heights and then travel to her wedding. No? Okay, not so crazy. But her parents wanted her to spend a few days at home before the wedding. So can you go to the mikvah in situations like that more than 96 hours? So, lemaisa, we're makol if you have to, but in cases when it's more than 96 hours, so you really should do bedikos before the wedding. That seems to be the pashtus in the halacha. Reb Fiva Cohen in the Badei HaShochan Sifkat and Chavches Tainas that in any situation, even if you're going to the mikveh within 96 hours of the chasana, you should always do bedikos after the mikveh before the nisuin. Because, says Reb Fiva, because of this additional chimur, and he says that Yigesh Lahazir HaKalos Alzeh, Shekemeduma Einon Yoidais Mizeh. Kalos don't know about this, and therefore you should tell them. Rabbi Willig, if I'm not mistaken, says Kalos don't know about it because it ain't true. There's like a Facebook group called Halachos You Never Heard Of because they're not true. No? I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I remember from my previous life, right? So this is something you never heard of because it ain't true, says Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig feels that within 96 hours, no need for bedikos kihuzah. No need for bedikos after the mikvah before the chasana. Reb Fiva seems to be machmir on... Reb Fiva is machmir on this, yeah. Ellie.
Excluding the position about the Yashofan, if a woman goes before 96 hours, shouldn't she only have to do bedikos up until the 96th hour?
But Reb Fiva holds that whenever you go to the mikvah before the wedding, you have to do bedikos on all the intervening days. Right, and there's five holds. Let's say you go to the bedikah 48 hours before the wedding. You have to do bedikahs on day 3 and on day 4.
Well, let's say according to Rabbi Willig.
According to Rabbi Willig, you never have to do bedikos after going to the mikvah unless it is a 96 hour, more than 96 hours. In that case, according to Rabbi Willig, so I believe we assume that you should do one bedika within 7 days. Meaning, if you go to the wet, you should make sure there is some bedika that's done within 7 days. Now, the 7 days, we have to discuss 7 days of what? And this is the old machlokus between Unzer Chavestas and the Lechem V'Simla. Is it 7 days before Be'ilas Mitzvah? Let's say Me'ezah Sibashahi, they did not have Bia wedding night, no? Do you have to do a Bedika the next day? Or that night? So that's machlokus, Lechem V'Simla and Chavestas. No, the Chavestas Nemdon, that the Chimud is Chimud for Nesuin. But the Lechem V'Simla and the Taz, we pointed out, assumed that the Chimud is Chimud for Bia. And again, this situation would be another nafgamina between those positions. Fine. Okay. Now, Se'if Gimon Shulchan Aruch talks about the case as follows. Let's say Me'ezah Sibashahi, the wedding doesn't happen. Now, we're going to have to discuss what does it mean, Ezah Sibashahi, not so pashat. But Shulchan Aruch talks about Imdachu HaNesu'in. I had cases, for example, as follows. I don't know how many of you remember. There was this thing called, which hurricane was it that Mamish devastated the East Coast area? What?
Sandy.
Right, Hurricane Sandy. Right, so Hurricane Sandy. So there are some people who were supposed to get married. There's a wedding call out in Rockaway Park. That's, you know where that is? It's like near, you know the Cross Bay Bridge? You know the Cross Bay Bridge. Come on, it's right near you. It goes to Howard Beach.
Yeah. Oh.
There are two bridges over there.
Yeah.
So there's like one wedding call over there. That wedding call was flooded She'en Kamod. And there were people who were supposed to get married on September 11th, and they missed their wedding. So is that called Dachu HaNesu'in? So L'cha'oira, that case is not called Dachu HaNesu'in, because in that case, the couple knows that they're going to get married, they just don't know when and where, no? My shul actually put on the wedding on September 12th. No, not September 11th. Why am I being crazy? You know, right after Hurricane Sandy, whenever the day was. What? October, November, whenever it was, whenever the hurricane was. So Michael put on the wedding the next day after because the couple couldn't get married in that wedding hall, which was flooded. So we did a wedding in my shul. We didn't have space for both the chassan's tish and the shmurg. It was like, so we had a chassan's tish in some apartment across the street. And it was actually very nice. It was a very nice wedding. This couple now lives in Milwaukee. I recently saw them at a simcha. Like, they are so happy that, like, our shul was able to do the wedding for them. I think I had more Rashi Yeshiva in my shul that day than any other occasion. Just because, like, you put on the wedding in the shul. It was really a very nice thing. And they had to get a new caterer, manage everything. Everything was, like, all done. So that's not called Dachu HaNesu'in, because they know they're going to get married. Dachu HaNesu'in L'cha'ira means as follows. It does not mean also, says Rav Chaim Cohen, that the couple have a big fight and they decide that we're not going to get married, for sure. And then in that situation, when they, after going to marriage counseling, or pre-marriage counseling, obviously, they get back together, in that situation, that's also not Dachu HaNesu'in, because that situation, Avada, there's a new chimud mechadosh. Avada, in that situation, since they decided, right, that we are not marrying, so that's a new chimud mechadosh, when they decide to reconnect. The case of Dachu HaNesu'in is as follows. Dachu HaNesu'in means that they get in some fight. The fight is how much of a nedunya are you going to give, right? Who's going to pay for the photographer? Who's going to be, you have some fight. And the couple does not decide that they're going to break up. But on the other hand, they also don't decide that they're going to get married. They postpone the wedding, right? And it's like indefinitely postponed. No, they don't until when. So that's called Dachu HaNesu'in. So Dachu HaNesu'in, Machmas Eizah Sibah, says Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel, You need another Zayin Nekiyim when they agree. Now there is a Machlokes HaPoskim why this is true. The Bach's Shita is that it's not a new din of chimud when they agree to get married, because the chimud set in beforehand. Remember, we assume, like the Pisrei Tshuvas of Katan Aleph, that the chimud is when you write Tanayim, or for us the chimud is when you give a down payment on the hall. They agree to get married. They're going to get married. It's just a question now of when. So it's not a new tevia. Rather, says the Bach, during those intervening days when they were broken up a teeny bit, or when they were on the racks, right? So during those intervening days, says the Bach, maybe they didn't do a good bedika. Maybe she didn't do a good bedika, and it's shayim that she had a re'iya stam. Maybe her bedika wasn't good. That's what the Bach says. The Tshuvas Masas bin Yamin, however, did we speak about this? The Yisusker Katz writes in his tshuva about breastfeeding. We mentioned this? Okay, fine. Adkan, gotcha. Fine. We believe the Masas bin Yamin actually was a posek. So the Masas bin Yamin writes in the tshuva that no, that the pshat is that it's like a chimud mechadosh, meaning at that moment when she is not sure really what's going on. Now you can imagine the girl going up to her bedroom and crying hysterically. And the guy's crying hysterically. Yeah, think about it. The family had a whole fight about the wedding. Wedding is postponed. You have to, like, call 1,000 people, right? It could be very difficult, no? It could be very difficult. She's crying. So the Masas bin Yamin says it's like a chimud mechadosh. The nafgamina, of course, is, let's say everything happened the same day, no? If the Bach is correct, that the only concern is that maybe, and by the way, if you read through the poskim, the Shach Sifkat and Zion gives you the whole drush over here, it's all here. I'm just like summarizing things. But if the pshat is that you didn't do a correct bedika, or bedika wasn't so good, so then let's say they break up the same day and they get back together the same day. Again, now we're not talking about full breaking up, we're talking about postponing. Double Hanasu. So in that case, it all happened the same day. So according to the Bach Lamaisa, she got one bedicha that day, good enough. She should do a bedicha after to get back together. However, if the pshat is, that's like a new tevia mechadash when they get back together. So in that situation, it's a new tevia mechadash, they get back together. So then they, if the Masas bin Yamin is right, then obviously she'll lead a Shiva Nekiyim from when they get back together. Now, a similar Rucha Ayra, the machlokes between the Bach and the Masas bin Yamin, has a lot to do with the psychology of, and presumably it's the psychology of the woman. What is this woman thinking when the family has a fight? Is she an optimist that was stolen that put it back together? Right? Or is she a pessimist? Right? The Bach is taking the optimist approach. The Bach is saying, the stomach will get back together. And just like he says, you know what, during those intervening days, she's not a moment saying, sure, so her predicas aren't as good as usual. The Masas bin Yamin's a pessimist. The Masas bin Yamin says that she's going back to her room. And she's crying hysterically. Meaning she's thinking, I'm never going to get married, never going to get married, it's over. But there's like an expression by the Goyim of left at the altar. No? She's thinking, that's what happened to me, right? It's over. I'm not going to get married. Like, she imagines herself with, like, the gray hair, right, crying, right, forever. If that's the case, it's like a chimud mechadosh. So the question is to whether it's an optimist or a pessimist, that is a machlekes Bach HaMasas bin Yamin. And a very similar machlekes is found in the Taz, in a case when the chosin doesn't show up at the chasana. That's really the case of left at the altar, no? My parents were once at such a wedding, by the way, that the guy didn't show up, and they're calling. There's been like a million movies about this, no? it's like a theme, right? The guy doesn't show up, and everyone's calling. So at some point, the Kala's parents said, listen, you know, we paid for the hall, enjoy, eat the food, have a party. Like, the guy never showed up. He never showed up. They found out the guy actually was hospitalized for mental illness. He, like, totally freaked out because of the possibility of getting married. Baruch Hashem for her, that he didn't show up. because a guy who like flips out to that extent could also not be capable of giving a get, potentially, right? Potentially, having got married, maybe it could be a disaster. It might be a disaster. Sometimes, like, things look so awful, turns out to be a bracha, no? That's a chassidish take on the maisa. But the yisod over here is, what do you think? What does the kala think when the chassid doesn't show up? Is she an optimist? Is she going to say, he didn't show up, mistama, there was some lateness, mistama, the horse, like, got turned over, and it went nuts, and they're in some other town, and he'll come eventually, right? Or do you think, he didn't show up, he ditched me? Are you a pessimist? And the nafkamina between whether you're an optimist or a pessimist is, right, when he shows up, and he's up there, right? He comes in like Moshe Aisha, the great chazen, and he says, Ich bin da. So then what? You need a new chimud? Is that a new chimud lechadosh? You need a new zayin nekiyim or not? That's a machlaikas that the Shach and the Taz quote over here, big machlaikas, la halacha. It's an interesting case, but again, in our situations, these cases of Dachu HaNesuin are exceedingly rare. Even the case, like what we mentioned, of Hurricane Sandy, I don't think was Dachu HaNesuin. Presumably the families were in touch with each other. Like, we want to get married. What can we do? Like, the wedding call was flooded. That's not a Dachu HaNesuin case, no? L'chayra. Okay, Adkan. Next, then. Se'if Dalid. Avar v'kinsa toich zman zeh. Let's say you get married during the Zayin Nekim of Tavuha Linase, or a Chasen Shapirsa Kalas Onida. So in both cases, the din is that there's an Isser Yichud between the Chasen and Kala. Usually a husband is allowed to have Yichud with his wife who's a Nida. But in this case, right, the Gemara Reish Ksubis tells us there's an Isser Yichud. Hu Yashin Bein Ha'anoshim Vihi Yishena Bein Hanoshim. That's the din. Now, the Rama adds that Yesh Oimrim, that there's an Isser Yichud B'Yoyim, just like there is Balayla, and that you don't need two Shmiros, but it's Hu Yashin Bein HaAnoshim, Ohi Yishena Bein HaAnoshim, V'Yesh Laila Omen, the Balayla need two Shmiros B'Yom, it's Mutter, etc. And the Minog, the Rama tells us. Now, what's going on over here is as follows. Let's make a few points on this din very quickly. Point one, the Lashon B'di'eved, Avar V'kinsa. So that could be interpreted in one of two ways. You see, the Mechaber holds in Evan Ha'ezesim in Samach Aleph that you're not allowed to make a Chuppas Nida. Right? Remember, there's a Gemara in Yevamos Nun Ches. This was the last Sugya I learned with Rabbi Konigsberg. He was my Chavrusa for 2 years. We learned Yevamos straight. We got to Daf Nun Ches Nun Ches. The Sugya of Yesh Chuppa L'Psuwais or Ein Chuppa L'Psuwais. So that Sugya, the Ramban has a shita that what? The Ramban has a shita that you're not allowed to, that Nesuin doesn't work if she is a psula. And therefore, the Mechaber Paskin says that you are not allowed, there's going to be no tfisa of the Nesuin if she's a nida. The Ramban Paskins that you're allowed to. So the Shach over here, Nemzon, the Shach sends you to Eben Ezesim and Samach Aleph, and the Shach says that our practice is that our Ashkenazi practice is that we do nisuin even for a woman who is a nida. So therefore, the avar v'kinsa might just mean the mechaber l'shitasa. However, the other poskim say that no. Oh, I'm referring to the Dago Meravava now. The Dago Meravava says that maybe avar v'kinsa is true l'kuli alma by the din of Tavuha Linase. We could suggest that by Tavuha Linase, people don't take that Isser as seriously as the Isser of a regular Bi'ilas Nida. And therefore, because people don't take it as seriously, so therefore everyone is masking that you're not allowed to make a chuppah to the Zayin Kiyim of Tavuha Linase. That's what the Dogo Meir Pava suggests. But then the Dogo Meir Pava at the very end, like the last two lines that he has, he moves away from this approach. He says, I found in the Sefer Ra'avon that the Ra'avon doesn't learn like me and Kedai Hu Smokhalov. Right? In other words, the Shaila is, are you allowed to make a chasana type the Zayin Yomim of, what's it called? Type Zayin Yomim of Tavu Halin Nasei. When my father was running the Federation, so on one occasion he went to Russia. And when he was in Russia at that time, they asked him to perform a bunch of, Russia is not what it used to be, right? So they asked him to perform a bunch of weddings for refuseniks. So he did chuppah v'kiddushins in different people's apartments at that time. My understanding is that they were makal, that tabu only nasi to get married right away, which you would go to the mikveh after, because there weren't that many people around who would marry people off in Russia in those years. Chabad always performed chuppah v'kiddushin in Russia. But outside of Chabad, and Chabad was always much right, carefully. My father sort of was able to pull this stuff off because they didn't think that he would be doing marriages. Right? I told you the story of Five O'Cohen during those years also in the late 70s, went to Russia one time and he was trying to bring a shchita knife to one of the refuseniks. So how do you get a shchita knife into Russia? It's a shaila. No? So what Reb Feivel did is he brought a big brick of cheese. And he brought the knife. And he said, I need this knife to cut the cheese. They said, okay. So they let him in. When my father went to Russia at that time, they took away, he brought like 20 pairs of tefillin. They took away most of the pairs of tefillin that he brought. But he was able to convince the authorities that he needed two pairs of tefillin, one for Shabbos, one for during the week. So they let him come in with two pairs of tefillin. They stuck him in like some prison in Moscow for 2 days. He had to sit there in his underwear for 2 days until they made their interrogations of him and found out that he was okay. This is like my childhood memory. I have no idea why I'm like going through all this now, but like I'm in a weird mood. So what happened was the whole Federation mission that he was leading decided they're not leaving without him. So he and that's why they let him out eventually, because they had like 35 people standing there and saying, we are not leaving without him. He was like the head of the mission, and eventually they let him out, and eventually he came home, etc. So we do hope of the Kiddushin occasionally, just like we'll do Chuppah the Kiddushin for a Chuppas Nida, for Ashkenazim. We don't hold like the Sar the Dagal Erevava that Tavu Hali Nasi is more Chomer. Adham. Now, the Din, the Isser Yichud, with Kala Shapir Sanida, is a big machlokes between the Ravid and the Rosh. The two opinions are here in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah has a psak that seems to be along the lines of both. The Ramah writes that the minig is that we take a katan by the chasan and the katana by the kala, and there's also no iser yichud b'yayin. So the Rosh and the Ravid have machlokes. The Ravid assumes. The Ravid assumes, Azoi, that this Isra Yichud is really a new din entirely. It's not analogous to the Isra Yichud in general. But it's a new din that Belayla, when Bia is likely to happen, so you need two Shomrim. Hu yashin bein ha'anoshim, hi yashin bein ha'anoshim, meaning two shomrim b'layla, but nothing b'yom. B'yom, biya doesn't usually happen, and you don't need any shmira at all. That's the Ravid shita. And the Rosh's shita is that this is basically a regular din of yichud. Now, when Rav Soloveitchik was Masader Kedushin at a Chuppas Nida, look in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, page Reish Nun Ches and Reish Nun Tes, the Rav used to say, Azoy, he used to say that we got a problem. Because if it's a chuppas nida, and you can't have yichud, so then what would emerge is that they might not be halakhically married. Because there might not be nesuin at all. In Timtzolaymar, that the yichud is nesuin, and you have to stick somebody in the yichud room, right, which is the standard practice in these cases, so then there's no nesuin in some place. And the Rav was worried about that. So the Rav said, Kedai hu harayvet l'smokolov, that the rayv can be relied on, that there's no iser yichud b'yom, only b'layla. And the Rav felt the definition of yom, le'inyin yichud, is as long as people are still awake. You're in a wedding hall. There are hundreds of people around. They're all singing. They're all singing El Sayyidur, right? It's a hectic thing. That's considered beyond halakhically. So the Rav felt that you could rely on the Rav that isn't good to call me Balayla and will be Magdir Laila as the time that people are going to sleep. And in this way, we can have a full-fledged halachic wedding. This is called a super-duper Rav Kula. No? That you don't have to plant somebody in the yichud room at a chuppas nida. That's the Rav Shita. Most poskim, I think, don't do this, but it's very interesting. Now, obviously, the machlokas between the Rush and the Ravid depends on the two opinions in Tosis in Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin, Tosis in Saita Dav Zayin, as to whether Nida is really considered an Erva. Right? If you hold that Nida is a full-fledged Erva, Tosis in Yivamis Daf Beis, if you hold that Nida is a full-fledged Erva, so then obviously there should be an Isser Yichud with Ishtom Nida. It's just that there's a Kula once he had Bia with her. However, if Nida is not a full-fledged Erva, so then, it doesn't apply. The last thing to discuss in this siman, we have another 2 minutes, I believe, is as follows. What about the following modern Orthodox shaila, Nebuch? Let's say you have a couple who slept together before they were married, and then they get married, and it's a chuppas nida. Is there an iser yichud? Don't think I have not gotten this shaila. It happens. So what's the din? So in Se'if Hayin Shulchan Aruch it says that Machzir Grishaso has to keep Zayin Nekiyim. The Taz Tainas, the Ovar V'kines, Toch, the Zayin of Tav Uali Nase, you don't need Shmira. In the case of Machzir Grishaso, because they already had Bia once. Rabbi Kiva Eger is Medayin from the Taz. Right? Rabbi Kiva Eger right over here on the page. Is when that the Taz is only speaking about a case of Machzer Grishaso when it's Ovar V'Kinsa Toif the Zayin of Tavu Alinasa. But if she would become a real Nida, so then you would need Shmira, even though he had Bia with her beforehand. The Tiferes L'Moshe is called, however, the Rip Tiva Eger. But the Tiferes L'Moshe disagrees. And the Tiferes L'Moshe says, no, Ovar V'Kinsa, even when she is a full fledged Nida, you can be makel that what? You can be makel that since it's machzir grushasay and he had beer with her once, that you do not need the shmiras. V'cha'ora, this is the same case of the Baal Tshuvas, no? They had beer beforehand, and now she's a full-fledged nida. Do they need shmira? It should be totally the machlokes Reb Kiva Eker and the Tiferes Moshe. I can't say what the minhag ha'olam is. I can say that we were makel on this. Okay, chevra, have a good day.